So we're going to go into a verse, and I appreciate your patience here. Yeah, there we go. And this is really our tone setter for the message. And it's just one part. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I put it here so you would see context. Context is important anytime we read scriptures. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing. Oh, man. This is already a real bummer of a verse. Did you catch that? Even though we're dying on the outside, would you hang out with somebody that talked like that all the time? You know what I mean? Even though we're dying on the outside, but he gets to the juice, the good stuff. Yet the inward person, the inward man, this is really meant as a neutral. It's not just saying man. It's inward, our inward person, is being renewed day by day. So our outward day by day does less and less and less. But our inward day by day is being renewed more and more and more. What a crazy paradox. You know, we would think that as we're, you know, our outward is being renewed, our inward at the same speed and all that stuff. But the day-by-day inward stuff that happens in our life with the Lord, and I'm talking about as believers, this day-by-day stuff, either we're drawn and attracted to being a believer and follower of the Lord, or we have already accepted that we are going to be a believer and we'll live that life. Day-by-day, we're being renewed. Day-by-day. And that's probably about the speed that most of us can handle. I would like to think I can go very fast in understanding the things of the Lord. That my inward man doesn't have to grow day by day, but I'd like to think that my inward man can grow month by month or year by year. Sometimes I feel like I'm going at no speed at all with the Lord. I feel like I'm living in the mundane. Anybody else feel like that? Live in the boring. Hello, God, where are you? Where's the renewal? There's other times where I felt, and I'm sure some of you probably feel like this now, in your inward, your hair is on fire. Ah, you can't keep up with everything. Do you know what I mean? So it seems like when you follow the Lord, it's very common for people to live in one of those two extremes. You know, where are you, God? Day by day. Well, hello, where's the renewal? This monotonous, or maybe our hair is on fire. So, and I mean, like, there's so much stuff to consider and to process and that goes on in life. When I say hair on fire, that could be a time of mourning, trying to figure out where God is and the bad news. Sometimes we hear bad news and we say, where are you, God? And sometimes we hear good news and we say, wow, God, you're amazing. And then we move on to bad news. But that's what it is. Day by day, there's this renewal that goes on and it causes us to think and be mindful. And sometimes we aren't even aware that it's going on in our life, that mundane, where we don't even always have a sense that it's happening. So I'd like to speak to just a couple examples of this morning and then bring it to us here at Beth Messiah. So this day-by-day concept, the first example, you know, it's interesting. The Tanakh, the Old Testament, it's got the Torah, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the books that Moses wrote. And then there's other segments and parts, but there's on the back end of it, there's the prophets. And the minor prophets, and there are a bunch of these small books, just tiny books. And if you've been a believer for a long time, if you've been around, you know, Bibles much at all, you know about these books. And some of them are 3 chapters and 4 chapters, 6 chapters, 2 chapters. Not two, but 3 chapters, I think. And they're just kind of squeezed in these in the back end, and they're often glossed over. But most of them, not all of them, most of them speak to one event. Most of them were within a small time frame of each other, and they're speaking to a second temple event. So let me set the backdrop. We're going to look at 3 of the books today. So just a bit of a backdrop. God told Moses, you're going to take the Israelites into the land, and it's going to be a good land of milk and honey, and everything's going to go well, but they're going to forget about me. I spoke about this a little bit last week. I'm going to teach you a song, Moses, so when they forget about me, they'll remember that I told them that they were going to forget about me. And I'm going to take them out, and I'm going to take them out and remind them of what I've done, and they're going to come back to me. So when God actually told Moses that you're going to go out and you're going to come back. You know, this is going to be good, and you're going to remember who I am. And that's exactly what happened. If God says it's going to be, it's going to be. And that's what went on. So Moses passes on, and the kingdom grew up, and there was kings. There was a whole line of kings. There was Saul was the first, and then David and Solomon. And the building of the temple, and of course, this is the temple. They're no longer in the Mishkan, the tabernacle. They're in the temple. And Israel is a happening place at the time of Solomon, a happening, bumping place. And after that, there became all kinds of problems. And they divided in two kingdoms, and they had ebbs and flows. There was two kingdoms before then, but David established one kingdom, and it fell apart again later. And there was ebbs and flows of problems, and some of the kings started serving false gods. They turned their back on Hashem, on the one true God, and they did all kinds of things. Israel became a mess, just like God said it would be. Israel became a mess. They forgot about him. And God said, I'm going to raise up another country. I'm going to raise up another nation. And we know that Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar was the one that God raised up to come in and defeat the last of the kings of Israel, who was actually Judah. It was a divided kingdom. And defeat them and take off their sons and their daughters and their spoils and destroy the temple and bring ruin, that he would raise this secular nation. But don't worry, Israel, he says at this point, I'm going to raise up another king of this nation named Cyrus. He actually names him. His name is Cyrus. And after 70 years of being in that land, Cyrus will say, go back and rebuild. Go back and rebuild the temple. 70 years, Cyrus is the guy. And he tells them all in advance to look out for Cyrus and look out for 70 years. This is amazing. You're going to be in a slave, but it's for 70 years. Not so bad, considering what it could have been. You with me? You need that for this. Thus says King Cyrus of Persia. 70 years later, that's what happens. Isn't God smart? I wanted to tell you that whole backdrop to say God's so smart. And you can imagine after 70 years living in this land, what a buzzkill it was to be in the land. They weren't back home. They were there. They were a captured people living wherever and however they lived and doing whatever they did. But after 70 years, thus says King Cyrus of Persia, Adonai, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build a house for him in Jerusalem. How did he know all this? Which is in Judah. Whoever is among you from his people, may God be with him. May go up, you may go back. You go back to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Adonai, the God of Israel. He is the God who's in Jerusalem. Okay, everybody, you can go back now. Here's what you do. I'm going to give you gold and silver, and I want you to go back, and I want you to rebuild it just the way it was. Anybody else think that's amazing? I bet you they thought it was amazing. Both the Jews and the Persians. I bet you everybody thought it was amazing. So you can just picture them. Here they go. They grab all their gold and silver. They grab their possessions. And they make the long trek back. Dun, 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 dun. What a great walk that would have been. You know, loading up the donkeys or the camels or doing whatever they do to get their gear, to schlep their gear from there to there. And they do it. Boom! It's off to a great start. There's some leaders, including a man named Zerubbabel, who's kind of the hero of this part of the story. Zerubbabel was, his grandfather was the last king of Judah, and he was the bad king. So Zerubbabel got to go back, and he was the grandson of this bad king. And he's still one of the leaders and influencers. And Zerubbabel, I can't imagine how he must have felt as a grandson going back to right a wrong. I wonder if he thought about that. But they all go back. And he's one of the leaders again. They rebuild the foundation of where the temple was. They build the altars. And the people in the land, the ones who weren't Jewish, who got to live there, the Samaritans, we would probably call them today, didn't like that they were coming back. And they were just kind of a pain in the neck, and they wanted to thwart the plans of these Israelites that came back to rebuild. And they wrote the King Cyrus a letter, a false letter. They made up this whole story. And they said, you know, King Cyrus, if you let them build this, finish building this temple, they're not going to pay you taxes anymore. They're not going to listen to you as king anymore. So after building this stuff and starting the foundation and starting this effort with Zerubbabel and the gang, King Cyrus said, okay, this is what I think. I think you should stop. Talk about a hard buzzkill. The momentum of going back, they were told they were going to go back. God himself said they were going to go back 70 years later with from a man named Cyrus. And this letter, this false letter, and Cyrus himself shuts it down. So Ezra 4, this is one of the books. So now issue a decree to stop these men. This city is not to be rebuilt until I issue a decree, said Cyrus. Verse 23, then as soon as a copy of the letter from King Artaxerxes, Cyrus, was read in the presence of Rehum, Shimshai, and the scribe and their associates, they hurried off to the Jews in Jerusalem and by force and power compelled them to stop. So the Samaritans get this letter by force and power. They didn't just have a discussion over a table. By force and power, they got them to stop. Thus, the work of the house of the God in Jerusalem ceased. And it stopped cold. If we would read on in the chapter, we would see they stopped for almost 17 years. It doesn't say 17 years. It says to the second year of the reign of Darius. And we know that that would be almost 17 years later. So it stopped. And I wonder how their day-by-day living went for 17 years. That's what I want to get at. How did they do it? What did they focus on? Well, I guess we should build some houses and some places, some stores, you know. And we don't have much over here, but let's figure out how to do this. And how do they do it? And after, you know, it's one thing to do it for a year or 2 years, but how did they get into the movement of it? In other words, beyond the mundane. It became mundane to them. It had to. All those years, almost 17 years, there had to be a monotony. Did they wonder where God was? Did you ever feel like that you were doing something that God wanted you to do, and then it just kind of stopped? God speaks. In Haggai, one of these small books, on that day, it is the declaration of Adonai Tzevaoth, the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant. It is a declaration of Adonai, and I will set you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you. It is a declaration of Adonai Tzevaoth. So this time goes by, and God speaks to Haggai the prophet, and he said, hey, Zerubbabel, guess what? You're the one. I'm going to use you. We're going to finish with you. Like a signet ring. You know, a king has a signet ring. That signet ring marks all of the official documents. You're going to mark documents, so to speak. This is who you are. So, and that's what Haggai prophesies. And another guy prophesies. Zechariah prophesies. Again, the word of Adonai came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. The foundation was done, right? His hands will also finish it. Then you will know that Adonai Tzevaoth has sent me to you. So they build the foundation, they go back, they build the foundation, they put the altar in place. Two different prophets after almost 17 years, two different prophets speak up, Zechariah, and say, Zerubbabel, you will finish it. You will be the one. You will finish it. But I like this last part, and this is a big, big part for us in the day-by-day living. Then you will know that Adonai has sent me to you. I believe in that waiting time of almost 17 years, one of the keys was that he would be ready to know that God sent him. Had they just kept with that movement, I don't know that he would have ever made his own connection to the Lord. It would have just been this flurry of activity to build all this stuff. But by waiting for all those years and having two different prophets say, you're the one, you're the one. And I'm doing it. You'll be the one. And so you'll know now that it was me that sent you. Remember, Zerubbabel is the grandson of the king, the bad king. And now he's got definitive word. Two times God spoke to these prophets. Two times God said to the prophets of Israel, tell Zerubbabel he's the one. Tell Zerubbabel by waiting, now he knows that I'm there, that it's him I'm using. Sometimes we live in these day by days and we don't know what's going on. I believe that God puts us in some of these periods, these slowdown periods, that we would pause and remember that he is the one leading us in life. We're not just winging it on our own. You know that, right? He's very smart. He has plans and design for everybody. This is not the kind of thing where I say plans and design. Every now and then people over a certain age will say, well, don't you know, I'm too old. I've heard that from people. What are you talking about? Compared to who? Him? He's working right now, right this day, to advance his design in our life. And he wants us to know that. Recently, I saw a man, some speaker, whatever his name is, I can't think of his name, but he was trying to show the length of eternity. And he had a big rope, very, 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 very long rope. And at one end of it, he had it, it was colored red. And he said, this is about how long our life is when we think of eternity. It's just an illustration. He was saying, this is it. You know, some of you are at the front side of the red, some of you are in the back side of the red, but you're in this red. And you think, well, my life is so short. You know, I don't have long left, or don't have much to do. I don't know what I'm doing. But remember, there's all of this other part of the rope. And he starts to pull this rope all across the stage and keeps pulling. He said, when does eternity stop? You know, he's prepping us for eternity. But what the key is, he wants us to know that he's doing it. He wants us to know that he's doing something in our life. We're not here by happenstance. We think of day by day and the monotony. He is working something within us. He is doing something. He just wants us to know that he's doing it. Number two. Moses is writing this down. I don't know your God who goes before you. He himself will fight for you. And I put the dot, dot, dot here. It doesn't have that in Bible translations, but this is the second thing I want to point out in day-to-day living. So Moses is relaying this story of the Israelites and where they kind of messed up. You know, we know that they kvetched a lot, you know, so they complained a lot. They left Egypt. God does an amazing thing, the 10 plagues, and they leave, and the seas part, and they come back, and they drown the end of the Egyptian army, and they continue to walk, and one by one, anybody who tried to oppose them, the Lord just basically crushed them, and he led them by a cloud of a pillar of a cloud by day and fire by night. If the cloud stopped or the fire in the sky stopped, then they would stop. He gave them food every day, gave them manna from heaven. And they just complained. And they couldn't understand it. So finally, in this journey, they make it to, you know, they're getting closer to the land that God had promised. And so Moses sends these 12 spies in, one from each tribe, go and investigate the land. And everybody comes back from the land, basically, and it says, this is beautiful. You're going to love the produce there. We're going to eat great. But also, you know, 10 of the 12 complained. They said the people there are very big, they'll crush us, you know, they live in these big cities, we'll never defeat them in their cities. And after everything God had done, they still couldn't. These 10 people were hung up on this giant mess up. But the Lord in his goodness did something very cool. He spoke to them and he said, you know what, I'm with you. And that's the start of this paragraph. That's what he's saying. I don't know your God who goes before you. He himself will fight for you. They couldn't get their head around that. They couldn't remember everything that they left. And remember that God had done that for them. They couldn't do that, except for two people, Caleb, and later we know that Joshua, if we would continue reading the passage, that Joshua were the two. So we read on, verse 34, when Adonai heard the tone of your words, 32, we'll start. Yet for all this, you did not trust in Adonai your God. They couldn't get their head around that God was going to take care of them in this land. When Adonai heard the tone of your words, in other words, they're complaining, he was angry and swore an oath, saying, not one of these men of the evil generation will see the good land that I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of this guy here. He will see it, yet to him and his children I will give the land that he has walked on, because. So this day-by-day living stuff, you know, on one hand, I believe the Lord wants us all to know that he's working in our life all the time. And that monotonous part, or if our hair is on fire, he is working in our life to understand more of him, that he is working. But also, in Caleb's case, yet to him and his children, I'll give this land that he has walked on because he has followed Adonai, the Lord, wholeheartedly. You know, sometimes we don't get things. We get stuck because we're not following the Lord wholeheartedly. And when we're living day by day, we can be mindful of, well, how am I going to do with the Lord today? How am I going to do with the Lord today? So Caleb got in, again, Joshua got in. And Caleb's story, once he got in the land, I mean, that's a whole story unto itself. God just did a tremendous thing. But remember, because he followed the Lord, it's the only reason he got in. I believe another reason we live day-to-day living as believers is to continue to learn to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. I think we often, you know, I probably have heard this from quite a number of speakers over the years. If you've been around congregations at all, if the Lord showed us everything that he wanted us to do in our life, I think most of us would be really overwhelmed with that. He just wants us to live this day for him. Just this day, day by day. And if we live day by day and we do what we know we're supposed to do, we have a relationship with him, we share of him, we're not embarrassed of the Lord, and we share and we talk about him. If we just do those things, it really does work out okay. It really does. Couple examples here. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. There are people, they just walk around, they're always, I can't, if I do this, you know, who knows what the problems are going to be later on. Don't worry about that, because later on you'll have new problems anyway. Tomorrow will have its own problems. You don't know what they are yet. But today, this day, just do this. Just this today. Let tomorrow's problems come tomorrow. Just do this today. We follow the Lord, just do this today. Lamentations. I recall my heart. Therefore, I have hope. Because of the mercies of Adonai, we will not be consumed, for his compassions never fail. If we read on one more verse, it says, his mercies are new day by day. You know, we might have problems day by day. They might be different problems day by day. But the good news is we have his mercies, new mercies every day. I wake up in the morning, I got new problems to look forward to that day, just that day. And I have new mercies from God to help me through that day. Every day. There's not, skipping Fridays. I mean, this is every day. We live day by day by day. And that's such a simple call. I'll give you an example for a building of how this works. This building, if you're newer, if you've come here in, less than 8 months or so, we were not sitting on this side of the building much longer than that. In fact, we've only been in this building for about a year, and we're not done yet. You can see from our stairs. Also, our unbelievably ugly bathrooms need work. But they've come very far. It's been an amazing journey for us. And we knew before we left our old building, which was in Milwaukee on Capitol Drive, we knew that we were coming to a place that was bigger. We knew that. And on Capitol it was just smaller. Everything about it was smaller. Smaller classroom, smaller meeting space. Everything about the building was smaller. A parking lot or land. We had grass in that building that was called the median. And here we have a whole 2 acres almost of just grass that we have to have mowed all the time. And we have a house, parsonage, just stuck on the side of the building. We haven't quite even figured out what to do with. And we've got not one, we've got this space to meet, but we have the old chapel. We call it an old chapel on the other side of the building. And what do we do with that? And we've got rooms all over the place. We've got a game room for whoever wants to use it, not for little children, but for youth and adults. It's upstairs and nobody ever goes in there. We think, well, what do we do with it now? You know, we've got all these challenges. Not really problems, but how do we grow into it? So when we came here, we knew we were going to have these types of challenges. And we knew that we were going to be forced to think differently about coming together, because different space means new thinking. What do we do? What do we do? You know, in your life, you have different things that come. What do you do? You know, you wake up and maybe the mundane, maybe you're stuck in the mundane. You know, we're here. I think, well, now what, we're here. I believe that the Lord is changing our thinking. I think he's teaching us how to be a different kind of congregation that needs all of this space. I think he's stretching our minds. He's affecting our attitudes. He's causing us to think differently. I can't tell you how many times I've talked at elders meetings. We've talked to the guys and they're like, yeah, we don't have to do something anymore. We used to do that. That's kind of small. We could do this now because we got this building. We could have a function. We could do different things. But all of a sudden, we're thinking in ways that we never imagined. But we need the day by day to develop our thoughts to do it. If we would have tried to plan it all in the beginning, we could. I don't think we could have done it. And it sounds like a little thing, but it's not. We needed the day-by-day plan, thinking to do this. I needed to pray. I pray all the time for this building. Our elders do. All the time. I know a number of you are just great prayers for this space. Lord, what do we do in this space? How do we grow it? And I don't mean, you know, in any particular way. I'm just talking about how do we utilize it? It's a great question to have, and it's a great question to seek the Lord for. So it seems like we are going through this day-by-day grind. Our thinking here has been challenged. I talked to Mary Ann. She helps lead our Shabbat school program. And Anitza helps lead our Shabbat school program. And we think, well, how do we use these rooms? And at different times, you could just see in the conversations that we've had in these months since we've been here, well, we don't have to always do it that way. We could do it differently now. You know, we're thinking about how we use technology in Shabbat school and, you know, where the kids are. And we have more rooms and we can do activities in different spaces. And that's just an easy example. You know, Oneg after service, you know, how do we, Debbie Jans runs Oneg and you know, they strategize. And Tracy, you know, they'd work back there and they lay out the tables and they think, no, I don't like that. Well, let's lay out. We get more people if we do it this way. And they rearrange and you try different kinds of foods because our thinking is changing day by day by day. When you're in that place in life, when you feel like you're just living day by day, praise God for it. Whatever he's going to do in your life day by day, he's going to show you more of himself. He just wants you to wholeheartedly follow him in the day. That's what he wants us to do at Beth Messiah. There's more coming. I mean, whether it's you or for us, the Lord is moving. Amen? This is just a far-reaching way to articulate that we live day by day by day. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to do. We don't even have to understand our day. He never says understand it. Do you ever try to read God's mind? But yet people do it all the time. All the time. Well, I know why this is happening to me. It's bad things happening. But I'll tell you why it's happening to me. Do you really know? Do you really think you're going to be able to answer that? Because you're not. People all the time figure they know why God's doing what he's doing. They have no clue. I don't even think people know why they picked a particular shirt to wear. If I could pick on somebody here, Ulysses. I'm going to pick on. Can I do this, Ulysses? We're just going to have fun for a minute. Why did you pick that shirt today?
I don't know.
I don't know why you picked it either. He said, I don't know. I don't know why I picked my shirt today. By the way, you have a nice plaid look going on there. I like what you've done with yourself. That's good. Yeah. Marianne, why did you pick your shirt? Do you know? You saw the closet. Was there a particular reason for it? You said, hey, this is this Saturday in July. That means I need to wear my flower shirt. No, nothing like that. Why do we people think that we understand why something's happening in our life from God? He just says, just live day by day for me. I will give you new mercies. When your new troubles come, no problem. New mercies. And you'll see that I'm God. Just follow me wholeheartedly. Please stand up. You know, we've got some prayers here. Our elders, our congregational elders will be, they've got lanyards on, and they'll be standing here after service. And look for the lanyards. You may not know them. Look for the lanyard guys if you want them to pray for you. It's Keith, who was playing guitar here, and Peter, who walked us through the transition part of our service. And you walk up to him and you say, hey, here's what I want you to do for me. I want you just to pray with me in my day, if you need prayer. And tell him what you need prayer for. Also, if you have never established a walk, and you're saying, well, how am I going to follow God day by day? Without it, you have never even started your own walk with God. Then start with them today. They're just going to pray with you. They won't ask you. We don't have a formal membership. We don't do things like that. But they'll say, well, let's pray together. And they'll ask you to pray. And they'll just pray with you. And there you go. You're all done. And then you follow him. And do that with them. Look for the lanyards. If they don't wear lanyards, you know, just think stranger danger. You know, look for the lanyards. And just literally, it's just prayer that God would do what God does. Because he's very smart. And he really has design and plans for our lives. And he wants you to be in a good way. He really does. He wants you to know him and to have that walk with him. After that, there's oneg, which is food down the hall. And there's fellowship everywhere. You can have it while you're eating. You can have it in here. You can have it when you're praying with the guys. You can do whatever. But do know that we're all living day by day together. Let's pray. Lord God, please help us in the day by day. Please help those looking to establish a relationship with you find you in a bold way, Lord. Help affirm them in their faith. And I pray for people who just feel distant, God. Maybe they live this monotony life where they just feel kind of trapped in the day by day. Help them be reaffirmed in you themselves. Help them remember, Lord, that each day isn't lost with you. In fact, you call us to live in that day by day. Help us be encouraged. Help us encourage others in that. Thank you for the development that you do in us day by day. And we do pray for us as a whole congregation, God, at Beth Messiah. Help our congregational understanding and day by day living too. Help us always be a good light to your name, a good light to your story. Thank you for everything, Lord. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Yivarachach Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav aliyecha vihunecha. Yisei Adonai panav aliyecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Be blessed.